and he's going to give a talk on God's loving plan for your life, which is encompassing the first two talks, God's love and salvation. Please welcome Father Rick.
A talk about God's love and the gift of salvation. If you are Catholic, been Catholic all your life or for a long time anyway, I think we're pretty understanding when we say we want to talk about God as love and the salvation. That's what our faith is based on. But I think that today's world, it's important for us to really try to get a better understanding of why we do what we do. You look around, and if you're a regular churchgoer, you know that Catholics have dropped off from attending Mass in great numbers in a great many of the parishes. I think the diocese just sent out a note to parishes in the archdiocese. Every year they do a count of participation. I think they said the participation in Catholic worship on Sunday this past year, 2023, has dropped by 13%. This really isn't unusual. It's what's been going on. The problem is that we live out our day-to-day life in this world. We find God unnecessary. I can get along in my life, and I really don't need him. I maybe have experienced the fact that I prayed for someone who was sick and they didn't get better, or I had some kind of bad experience and turned to God and nothing seemed to come of it, or just find that the celebration of Mass and the Eucharist and other devotions seem to be a waste of time when I can be doing better things and what have you. Those are all human situations. People, you know, sometimes get lost in what they want to do and where they're going. The thing that we have to remember is that when God calls us from the very beginning of creation, his goal was to have a relationship with us, with Adam and Eve. The relationship that he wanted to have was a relationship that was based on who God is. That is, he is a God who, at the core of his being, is a God of love. And this love is both creative and also a love that wants to share itself. So God decided that he would create. He wanted to share his existence and what he experiences with others. So he created other creatures. According to the Bible, he first of all created angels, were with him forever, and he created human beings along with the rest of creation. When he did that, he gave us that freedom, the freedom to choose. He gave it to the angels, and some of them chose God and some did not. And then he created a story of Adam and Eve, and he told them, he says, I've created you, I've given you this place to live, and it's your responsibility to take care of it, to allow it to grow and become even more beautiful, and to know and understand of my love for you, and that I want you to love me and love one another. To do all that is necessary to grow in my love and to take care of this world. The thing that he gave them was, yes, they still had freedom, but he said, for all of this to happen, you can't eat the fruit of the tree of good and evil. We know that Satan came along and gave them the encouragement to eat it. Because of that, we have been suffering ever since. But because God is a God who loves, he wasn't going to let the world stay that way. He promised that he would bring about a change so that people could truly come to him, love him, and know the full experience of being with God forever. So that's what he did. The situation is such that we live in a very good world, all that God has created. But unfortunately, we tend to get blinded by the things of this world. Many people just do not want to take God seriously. There are many people out there that, as I'm sure you know, have a very poor belief in the existence of God. Maybe they believe there is a God, maybe they don't. They may come along and say, well, God is just a power or a force out there, and there's not any kind of personal thing between God and me, and the world just happened. Now, nobody can explain that, but, you know, the world just popped up one day. I don't know how they can justify that, but they do, and that's how they live. But what this means is that in many people's experiences, they come along, whether they've been raised with an idea of God or not, they believe or come to understand that God just doesn't add much to their lives. That they can go out, they can get an education, they can get a job, they can make money, they can have a nice place to live, vacations and things, and meet other people and care about them and love them and what have you. And that God doesn't seem to add much to their lives. The thing is that what they don't understand is that when God created us, He put something in us which is a genuine hunger for His love, and they don't recognize that. So they look, first of all, maybe for human love. So we have men and women that come together and pledge a life together, and then they have children and go on and on and on. And sometimes as they live out their life, they discover that the love that's there isn't that satisfying, that there's still another hunger. If they don't know God, then they think that maybe it's other things in the world, and so they go after those things. Ultimately, if they never really come to terms with God, they usually can find that their lives are not as satisfactory as they would like. It's not as fulfilling as they were hoping. There's always this little bit of hunger there. For some people, it might be annoying and they do the best they can, but for many others, it becomes a kind of a sadness for them. That is, that they look at everything and they kind of say, what's the use? I don't find a real purpose or an understanding, or this hunger that's within me has never been really fully satisfied. I may not be able to explain it, but they experience. And many times these people turn to other things to try to find that kind of satisfaction, to try to find a way to fill it, or at least to take the pain away that life is missing something. The thing is that when Jesus came, He was trying to make people well aware of the fact that there is a reason to live, because there is a God who loves them, and a God who cares about them, and a God who wants them to experience His love, to come to know the love that this God has for them. In a very real way, when Jesus came, He was able to touch the lives and hearts of many, many people. He does this not because He has to. He does this because He has a genuine love for all of His creation. He did it because He wants us to experience the fullness of His love and His happiness. So God continues to work that way. He continues to do things and try to draw us closer to Him in our lives. People can choose to open themselves up to that and come to know God in their lives and what He does. So that when we read Gospels, we see that people really had a hunger for this truth. Now, when Jesus, in His public ministry, first of all, people were attracted to Him for some reason. And obviously it was because of His goodness and who He was. And I'm sure there was just a kind of a magnet that, you know, people would be wanting to come to be with Him, to be close to Him. And then he had his words, the words that he spoke to them. Certainly, by that time, they had the Jewish faith, and they've had a lot of experiences over the hundreds of years, and many of them really and truly believed that God had done all of this and that he would send a Messiah. There was a time when people were waiting for that. And even when Jesus came, there were people who were, well, there was certainly John the Baptist, but even before John, there were people that saying that it might be time for the Messiah to come. They didn't know exactly how or what, but there seemed to be a greater and greater awareness. And of course, when John came on the scene, it really did open kind of the floodgate of people wondering and looking and hoping. And then Jesus came on the scene. He did it with his words, first of all, and then he did it with his miracles. He did it and to show them the signs of God's love and care, and ultimately he showed it by his dying on the cross and rising from the dead. People today want to say that that's a lot of baloney. That's not true. Say there it's all myth. And they don't want to give credence to God. But God doesn't give up on us. In the course of events, he has raised up people who have truly lived a good life, and people could observe it, people could see it, people could understand it, and people could discover that in loving God, they could come to a greater love among themselves, a greater care, a greater desire to live good lives, to listen to what Jesus has to say, put it into practice, and find a genuine happiness in spite of problems and difficulties that life brings, that there was something far more real in their relationship with Christ than just this world or a pretense that people would say, well, God is here. They could experience that. They could come to understand that. They could, in many ways, feel it. That is, they could recognize the reality of God in our world. But the thing is that we have to choose to be open to that. We have to come along and say, will I trust God so that he can let me see the reality of who he is? Because people say all of this stuff. People say that God wants us to have salvation, and yet we see problems and wars and difficulties and angers and hatreds. Is there any way that I can come to know God for who he is? And this is where we come along and say, well, I have to decide that I'm going to put my trust in God and allow God to work in my life. Really and truly turn my life over to him so that whatever goes on, I can turn to God, whether it's a wonderful day or a terrible day, know that God is really and truly walking with me and that he is there for me, because God wants us to know of his love. Two stories that I have, which a friend of mine who I knew, but as he grew, I think he was Catholic when he was younger, but he got caught up in the drugs and all of that kind of stuff. He made lots of money selling drugs illegally, but he discovered that life wasn't very satisfactory. Something was missing. He also ran into some criminals that demanded more, and he was at the end of, you know, his frustration. Finally, one day, he just said to himself, I've had enough of this. I'm going to kill myself. I can't deal with it anymore. His plan was to get in his truck the next morning and drive over the suspension bridge, and when he got to the middle, just turn the wheel and go over and kill himself. And that's what he did. He got up the next morning, got in his truck, got on that suspension bridge, and as he entered it, he simply said, God, if you're real, you got to let me know now, because I am fed up with this world. And he drove across the bridge. He got to the middle where he was going to turn the truck over. And he said, suddenly this tremendous peace came over him. I mean, it was just like everything will be all right. And he didn't turn the wheel. He went across the bridge. After he got across the bridge, he found a Catholic church with the doors open. And he went in. And he spent like 2 hours in that church praying to God. And one of the things that he did, he was a drug user, but he had a pack of cigarettes with him. He said, God, I'm going to give this to you. And from now on, I want you to keep me from smoking cigarettes anymore. And he left after 2 hours. He became very, the faith became a part of him. And he changed his whole way of life at that. Another one was a friend, a lot of people used to know her here. She was a member of this, but she was from Ireland and she married an American in World War II. And he sent her over here to live, and she was by herself, a young girl, Protestant. And when she came here, she discovered that her life was very lonely. She had no relatives, didn't have much contact with her husband's family. And one day she was just absolutely frustrated. She didn't know whether to go back to Ireland or to stay or whatever, or get a divorce. I mean, she just was kind of lost. And she said, I need to pray. And she went looking and she found a Catholic church and the door was open. She went in and she sat in the last pew. And she sat there just trying to pray and basically saying, God, what should I do? And lo and behold, the tabernacle caught her eye. And she said, what is that? You know, what's that big thing up here? And she went up and kind of took a look at it, you know, from a distance. Went closer and closer. Finally, she went all the way up there and was touching it. And she was trying to say, wow. And basically, she was saying, what the heck am I drawn to this thing for? It's just a big blob of metal sitting on top of this table here, you know. And she'd go back. And then she'd come back again. And she'd leave and come back, and she spent like 2 hours trying to figure out why she was attracted to this thing sitting up there. There was no reason. It wasn't that beautiful, wasn't gorgeous or anything. It's just this big metal container. So she finally had to leave to get back to her home, and she said, tomorrow I'm coming and I'm going to ask the priest of this church what that is. And that's what she did. And the next day the priest told her, he says, that is what we call our tabernacle. When we celebrate Mass, we bring Jesus to the altar and in bread and wine. And when we're finished, the bread, the consecrated bread we have left over, we put in that tabernacle. And we believe that the reality of Christ is present there. Not just bread, not just a symbol, but Christ is there. And that struck her, and she decided to take instructions, and she became Catholic, and a very good Catholic for that matter. But this is the thing, that God comes along and he wants us just to give him a chance to allow us to be opened to who he is and what he's about. People today don't want to do that because they're sucked into the society's call to make a name for yourself. Be important. Do all you can to grab whatever this world can give you. And it's not satisfactory. But those who find Christ and learn to understand his love for us, they enter into that world of salvation, which brings them to that deep relationship with Christ. One more thing. I ran into a lady in a nursing home who was bedridden for years. And one day when I visited her and she said, I don't get up and walk. I asked her. I said, you must spend all your time in bed saying the rosary. You know, because that's all she did. She just laid in this bed in this terrible nursing home. And she laughed. She started laughing. And she looked at me and she said, Father, I don't have time for that. And I said, you don't have time. She said, no. She says, every morning when I wake up, I begin my day with the Lord's Prayer. And I say, Our Father, who art in heaven. And she says, that's about as far as I get. Because my Heavenly Father comes and I spend the rest of my day with Him in heaven. That's the reality. And that's the love God has for us. He wants us to experience that for all eternity.
Sorry about talking.